Welcome to the Brown Thomas Podcast. In our podcast today, I'm delighted to be joined by Alana Weston, chairman of the Selfridges Group. Over the last decade, Alana has been tirelessly advocating sustainable retail practices, starting with the launch of Project Ocean in 2011 and its endeavours to save our oceans from plastic pollution, and more recently the launch of Project Earth, introducing innovative and groundbreaking retail concepts in sustainability. I'm speaking to Alana in advance of her second podcast series, How to Lead a Sustainable Business. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brown Thomas Podcast. Alana, thank you so much for joining me on the Brown Thomas Podcast. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
And I know that you are so passionate about sustainability, and I really want to talk to you about that. And as chairman of the Selfridges Group, I suppose the first thing I really want to touch on is the dichotomy between consumption and sustainability. And I really wonder, can retail and sustainability ever go fully hand in hand?
It's a huge challenge that we face as retailers. And I think that it's going to require customers to think a completely different way about how they consume. And I think we're all going to have to address where our product comes from, who made it, what it's made of. But we're also going to have to think about how we feel about definitions of luxury, for example, and definitions of ownership. And I think that's going to be the step change as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of Selfridges' message and surrounding sustainability, what are the key words that you want to translate to the world in terms of your message?
Well, I guess my goal, my personal mission, is to find a way to empower fantastic people to deliver extraordinary customer experiences within human and planetary boundaries. You know, that sounds like a kind of utopian goal, but it's something you sort of have to set out in front of you, and then you work towards it with the team every single day. I guess what I envision is something very simple, which is a safe place to shop for our customers, so that when customers come through the doors, they know that they are treading as lightly as possible on the planet with everything that they buy and with every experience that they engage with. And that also the people who are involved in making, shipping, selling the clothes or building our stores are all being treated properly. I mean, that's really what anybody wants, I think, for people in society and for the planet. Mm-hmm. It's figuring out how we get there that's a little more complicated.
Yeah. But it's like anything, I think, you know, you have to visualize, you have to manifest, you know, that utopian goal, you know, and I love the way you put that, treading lightly on the planet when you come in the door. I think that's a great mission. But in terms of your personal life then, at what point did environmentalism start to impact on your personal life? Did it really start to matter?
I mean, I think going back to when I was a kid growing up in Canada in the 80s, I was very aware of certain issues. I mean, as a little kid, I got all my pocket money together and I put it in an envelope and sent it off to save the seals, because seal hunting was a big deal in Canada in those days. But there was also a place called the Ecology House. Mm-hmm. And the Ecology House was a place they'd take us as kids. And I remember being amazed by it, because it had like composting toilets and it had ladybirds in the greenhouse, and it was completely solar powered. And, you know, this was 40 years ago. And I remember running home to my mother going, "Mommy, we're going to put a brick in the toilet, you know, and all of this. And we're going to buy a pig, and the pig is going to eat, you know, all the leftovers and all of this." So a lot of environmentalism is not really new. It's been around for a very long time. And I guess as I suddenly realized as a business person that I could actually try to do something about it, I felt very responsible, but also empowered that here we had this platform at Selfridges and Selfridges Group, and we could use that as a power for good.
And then I can only, you know, make that direct correlation to Project Ocean, you know. So you started off as a young girl wanting to save the seals. And then one of the most outstanding initiatives was Project Ocean. So it started to impact on your business life very quickly.
It did. I mean, it came out through a conversation with a friend of mine who is a scientist, and he had been to Copenhagen and came back, you know, pretty disappointed at what hadn't been achieved there. And I guess we got into this debate, and I was saying to him, well, you know, you conservationists, you're always selling the problem, but you're not selling the solution. And then my brother said to me, well, you know, if you think you're so great, why don't you do something about it? And so that's how Project Ocean was born. And so then my friend said to me, well, you know, could we have some windows at Selfridges? And that then developed into a much bigger project. And we began to get involved with other NGOs and really trying to understand our supply chain for our fish counter. And it became this sort of incredible educational experience for all of the team who'd never really had to think about that before. But, you know, it was a fantastic creative experience too. And I think that's why the NGOs liked working with us, because we were able to speak to a totally new audience that they hadn't been able to reach. So yeah, so that was our first foray as a business. And I remember it with absolute pride for the team, because it was such an unusual thing for a department store to do in those days.
And since then, Alana, what have the initiatives been that you have been most proud of?
Well, I guess we built on Project Ocean at Selfridges throughout those, I guess it's 10 years. And we went through taking a look at single-use plastic water bottles, which we banned. We banned plastic glitter, shark oil. So we really started to look at our impact as a business on the ocean and to work closely with the brands on how they were going to change the way they made their products, and in order to make them much more aware of the impact that those products had on the environment. And I can tell you, there were some tough conversations along the way. But as we worked towards Project Earth 10 years later, which launched last September, as we were just coming out of the pandemic, what you saw was a real mindset change within the business, but also with our suppliers. And those conversations had been happening not only at Selfridges, but also in Brown Thomas and Holt Renfrew in Canada, and De Bijenkorf in Holland. So we were now leading an international strategy for sustainability. And it was a very collaborative one with the brands. But I think what was important about it was that it came from the inside out. And so the people in the business really believed it deeply. And they had this very, very strong vision and purpose. And that's given them the courage and the focus, I think, to deliver some of the things I'm most proud of, which include some our science-based targets. So each of our businesses have signed up to science-based targets, which describe how we're going to get to really ensure that our impact on the planet is as gentle as it can possibly be. There's so much to look forward to. And I'm so proud of the teams in Brown Thomas Arnott's. You know, they've so embraced sustainability and in a really, really short period of time, you know, and they have now their whole innovation team. They've been able to bring the circular alive in Arnott's. You know, they're looking for Irish brands and Irish talent that are so much more sustainable and really kind of celebrating local craftsmanship. So, you know, there's the big picture, which we talked about, but there's also the local talent that can bring it to life. And I think it's really important that we celebrate both. I just love the way the team have gone after it. And I think they're going to do great things.
And you referred to something there, I suppose, that was a query I had in terms of the interactions with brands. So you have used your platform to influence brands to change their business model. So it really has a very significant knock-on effect with business after business after business, really, this conversation that you started within Selfridges Group.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think, look, there are so many new regulations coming into play now. And so these businesses themselves are setting their own targets and building their own plans. But I do think we were very early to the table. And so we were able to take a leadership role. But of course, we've learned so much along the way. And I think the other thing is that we've been able to champion young designers and also new business models and really embrace those. And that's what Project Earth was all about, was understanding, would our customer rent her clothes? Would she engage with resale? Was repair something she wanted to do? And so we brought that to life in the stores, and the feedback has been really, really positive. So I think, you know, it's like I said before, I think we're starting to change our relationship with our clothing and things that we buy to understand, is it more about the experience of wearing a brand new dress, or is it about the possession of that dress? And I think that it's the feeling you get when you wear it that's more important. I think that's how people are going to change. You know, the experience economy continues to grow, and shopping and wearing fabulous clothes is just part of that.
I think that's interesting, because I think that there comes with, you know, with purchasing, particularly now for a more conscious consumer, a little touch of guilt if you're overdoing it. And I think that that has only become more so since the lockdown and the pandemic. So much like you have influenced brands to change their approach, has that change in mindset of the consumer influenced what you're doing within your business and your business model?
I mean, I think the consumer is so powerful, and I think they are so much more educated than I think people really gave them credit for. And they are asking the right questions about where things came from, what they're made of, who made them. And you only have to look at food and this in this country and also in America, where people are moving away from animal products so quickly. Mm-hmm. And the disruption that's happening in that industry is, why wouldn't it happen to fashion? Mm-hmm. You know, and I sort of see sustainability as the next big disruptor of our industry. And if you look at where fossil fuels are now, electric cars, how far they've come, where plant-based drinks or even meat substitutes, you know, I think we have to be very aware of how fast this change is coming and get out ahead of it and give our customers what they want. But, you know, at the same time, we've got to keep it fun and glamorous and gorgeous and personal too.
And that fun element, I think that that's where a company and a brand like Brown Thomas or like Selfridges Group can be a little different, because, you know, you mentioned your friend selling the problem as opposed to the solution. It's a heavy conversation. It really is. And then retail, conversely, is a mostly a leisurable pursuit, particularly when you walk in the doors of Brown Thomas. So there is a place there for your business to lighten the message, but also further the message, would you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was really the tone of voice that we started with Project Ocean and continued with Project Earth, was to really make it fun. And you know, when we did the Catherine Hamnett t-shirts, it said, no more fish in the sea, ? And that's quite a heavy hitting message, but it was an iconic t-shirt and it looked great. So I think that's what fashion can do, is they can bring the two things together. But you've also got to do the really hard work behind the scenes. And so there are a lot of spreadsheets, anyone on the team will tell you, and going through the detail of understanding what's in this product. Is it really sustainable? how are we sure this isn't greenwash? You know, there's an awful lot of detail that has to go into it. But the customer shouldn't have to worry about that. You know, actually, it happened to me yesterday. I was in the store in Selfridges, and I was looking for a pair of shorts for my summer holiday. And, you know, and I walked up to it, and then I had a I saw these great shorts, and they had a Project Earth label on them. And it just made me go, oh, fantastic. That's great. You know, and so it's that way around. And I think we need to remember that people are there for the experience, and they want to have fun. And it's up to us to curate product in the right way. And it's up to us to give the customer what they want and what they deserve and what the planet deserves.
Exactly. And you mentioned all the various facets, like there's an endless list of things to be conscious of, you know, in that conversation around sustainability. Do you think that diversity and inclusion is an important part of that? Does it go hand in hand? Is it relevant in that conversation?
Well, what I've learned over the last few years is how important it is to think about people and planet together in the same breath. And so, and I think as you look at yourself as a leader and building a team, you want to have as many diverse voices at the table as possible to solve these really complicated problems. And if we are too homogeneous, if we don't allow those voices, then we're just not going to get there. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, I think every business needs to take a good hard look at diversity and really how we bring opportunities alive for people across the business, but also people who might never have thought that they belonged in the fashion business, and really make ourselves open and accessible, and then set the role models for people to come together in a group that's, you know, that's going to have fantastic energy, and it's going to have fantastic ideas, and it's going to represent the world that we really do live in, which is a very diverse world. And I think that's what's exciting. But it's only really beginning, I think, people thinking about diversity and sustainability kind of in the same breath. And so it's going to take time to embed it really properly throughout business. But I've been so impressed by the way our teams in each of our markets have embraced diversity and have come forward to learn and educate themselves about what it means and how they could drive a change. Mm-hmm.
It strikes me, Alana, that there is a weighty sense of responsibility on your shoulders as, you know, chairperson of a group as vast as Selfridges. Is that how it feels? Do you feel the responsibility to lead the conversation on sustainability, on diversity? You have some, you know, amazing charity efforts and endeavors. Is it hard to juggle it all?
Well, you know, it's a responsibility, but it's a privilege. Yeah. You know, you have this incredible platform, you know, whether it's Brown Thomas, Arnott's, Selfridges, we're able to speak to so many people. Mm-hmm. We do have a responsibility, because we won't have a business if we don't take care of the planet, and if we don't take care of the people and in our communities. And so it's absolutely key. You know, sustainability means, there's a wonderful quote from an Indigenous leader in America who said, "We do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children." And for me, that's what sustainability really stands for. And so if we want to have a business in the future, we need to think about how that business needs to change. And we need to value all of the stakeholders in our business. And that includes the people that work there, our suppliers, the communities we're in, the NGOs that can educate us, and of course, our customers. And I think that's how business is changing, is we are becoming more focused on a multi-stakeholder group. And I think that will make our businesses more resilient, but also more flexible and open to change.
And we mentioned the mindset that the customers have, and it's changing, particularly in the last year more than ever. I sometimes think there's a lack of urgency around that change, you know, and I recently spoke to an environmentalist who said, really and truly, it's like there is a fire in your living room and you close the door and move to another room. And there's not a total sense of urgency like there should be. But like, if we look at COVID and how immediate our efforts were to protect ourselves and others, whereas the result of our inaction around sustainability and environmentalism could be a lot more drastic than the results of COVID. So why do you think that, a very long-winded way of asking you, why do you think there is a lack of urgency around sustainable change? It's still not quite there.
I think we've got to get moving. I mean, I really do. I think one of the people I interviewed for the first series of our podcast was Clover Hogan, and she's a young person, and she talks about eco anxiety and how young people cannot understand why people in power are not making the difficult choices that they need to make, because it's those younger people who are going to be living through it. Mm-hmm. And we've seen, you know, just last week, we've seen floods in Germany, in China. You know, I have family members who've had floods in London in the basement. So it's here and it's happening right now. It's not something that we need to wait and see if it's going to happen. Why aren't people moving faster? I think we haven't yet had the sort of perfect storm of innovation and legislation and consumer demand coming together. And that's what I'm really hoping we'll see at COP26, that we'll see all those stakeholders and all that innovation backed by proper legislation. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can work more collaboratively, we can solve these problems, because they are not political. The you know, global warming is not a political issue. It's a human life issue. And so the reason it's taken time is because I think it's complicated. It's complex. There are so many interwoven pieces to it, and unraveling those things and reconstructing those systems is hard work. And I think one of the great things about living in a democracy is that you can change things quickly. You know, you can vote in the people who believe the things you believe. But one of the other difficult things is that in a democracy, you've got to listen to how people feel in the moment and what's affecting them right now. And it's harder to take a longer term view in that environment. But I do believe that there's huge momentum coming, and I feel very hopeful with the next generation. And I also feel that the legislation is starting to really get serious around big companies and how they're going to have to report on their climate risk and their ability to mitigate that risk. So you see a lot of things happening in the financial markets, in legislation, and then also in consumer demand, as well as all the fantastic inventions that are coming to the market. But we can't just rely on technology alone. There are a lot of people who think, oh, technology will save us. And it's part of the solution, but it's not a panacea. So I agree with you. You know, I remember writing a speech about this and saying, we have 11 years to fix this.
Yeah.
And my daughter was 11 at the time, and she's nearly 14. And it's, you know, it happens in the blink of an eye. So I think we have to leverage our ability to come together and our ability to make really brave decisions, which we did around COVID. We didn't always get it right, but we knew what we were trying to solve. And we knew that the only way we would do it is to be courageous. And that's what's needed.
Absolutely. Like you say, it's here now, you know, and those years are clocking by very quickly. And it's 32 degrees in Dublin, which is unheard of. So we're feeling it, you know. But can we talk about your podcast then? You mentioned it there, and it's a huge success, How to Lead a Sustainable Business. And you've spoken to incredible people, but there's a new series coming. So when can we listen to that?
I'm really delighted with the lineup because I wanted to curate a mixture of people that I think of as innovators or disruptors, and then transformers. And so the innovators are the people who have started something completely new. So for example, I've interviewed Victoria Prue, who founded Her, which is a rental platform for clothes. And we actually work with her in Selfridges. And she's been phenomenally successful at really making sustainability glamorous and fun through her platform. But I've also interviewed people like Jesper Broden of IKEA. And there's a big company, very accessible brand that many people will know. And they are transforming themselves through a sustainability lens. And it was just fascinating hearing from him how he thinks about product that is affordable also being sustainable. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think that you must have to pay more for it. And so he had some really interesting thoughts on that. So I'm very excited about the next podcast. I've even interviewed a farmer. And Charlie Burrell, because he was the first farm in England to be let go back to nature. And he worked with some ecologists and thinkers on how you could really repurpose land that was actually not very good land for growing anything, but allow nature to take it back. And in a way, he's taken a what was a very unsustainable business model, which was an unprofitable farm that was basically just kind of holding itself up on subsidies. And then he's now got a really thriving business because he runs safaris. And this is like 40 minutes from London. You can go and see the most incredible endangered native species of birds, butterflies, orchids. And he's developed a whole new business model for farming and agriculture, mm-hmm. which I think is a really interesting one. So, you know, I go all over. It's not just fashion,
yeah.
but hopefully it's interesting to business people, but also to customers.
So interesting. And it's really, you know, I think there's a little lesson in every single one. What were the most startling lessons that you got from the first or the second series?
Gosh, I mean, I think talking to Zimzim Abraham about climate change and race, mm-hmm. that was powerful stuff, because the idea that the two things are so linked, because the people who are going to feel it first, who are already feeling it, and we see this now with migration. People are not able to live in those equatorial zones anymore. And climate change is very, very closely linked with conflict. And I don't think that people are as aware as they should be about the effects on human populations because of climate change and how that's going to mean people moving around the world because of conflict and because of famine. Mm-hmm. And I think having a global view of this is vitally important. And seeing climate change not so much about polar bears. You know, that's one of the things she said to me. She said, climate change, you know, is all about polar bears, and I didn't connect with it. But she explained how she started to find how it resonated for her. And I think that's really what we all have to do, is to find our way into these issues in ways that, you know, that resonate for us, and not to become overwhelmed by the responsibility, but to see our voice as something that has value. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of what's next, you know, as a retailer, Selfridges Group has always been ahead of the curve, but now I wonder what's around the bend and what will that customer experience that you spoke about earlier, what will that look like in 5 years' time? And what part will technology play in that?
Gosh, I mean, I get very excited when I think about the sort of deep future. And I mean, one of the things I think that could happen is the end of ownership. You know, I think there could be a state, maybe not 5 years, maybe not 10, but in the distance where we really have a different relationship with stuff. And I think that's already happening with the younger generation. You know, they rent their, they don't own cars. They don't expect to own their own home. They subscribe to music. They subscribe to cinema and videos, you know, and so that sort of subscription economy and how that could transform shopping. And also, I think there's something very exciting about the metaverse and how we could actually, you know, instead of us being two squares on a Zoom, maybe we could be sitting next to each other as holograms. And maybe we could even be inside a sort of game somehow where we're able to experience, to smell and touch and feel all the things around us in a virtual way. And so maybe the clothes that we buy are not even real. Maybe they're something that our avatar is wearing, and we're going to go to a party together, even though you're in Dublin and I'm in London. So I start to think about what that means for retail. But then I also think we've got that human touch as a store that's equally important. And so I think for retailers, being the best you can be at that human exchange, whether it's helping somebody get their makeup right for their wedding, or whether it's having a food and wine tasting, or listening to a great speaker on the rooftop of a department store, all of these things should become part of what department stores can be in the future. And what I do know for sure is they won't be about racks and racks of clothes.
Wow. Well, I was not expecting that level of vision and insight. And I just think it's so exciting that, you know, your enthusiasm, your passion around this change and around the possibilities that it brings, I think it's really inspiring. And so fantastic to speak to yourself, leading a business like Selfridges Group, really inspiring to see. And thank you so much for sharing those visions with us today, Alana. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed speaking to you. And I can't wait to get back to Ireland this summer, I hope.
Look forward to having you back. Thank you so much, Alana.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.